I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. You know, not just anything will feed your spirit. You can hear a lot of information, but that doesn't mean it's good, strong spiritual food. God made us, and He knows what our spirit needs. And His Word is food and nourishment to our spirit, just like natural food is to our body. So you need a continuous input of the Word of God. You want to read Scripture yourself in your own time. You want to go to a good church where they don't just talk about politics, social reform, but they actually open this book and talk about this. And you want to go to good meetings and things like this. That's why we have Faith School, something that you could get an input on a regular basis. And a bunch of them. We now have hundreds of these episodes online available to you, faithschool.org. No cost, no charge for any of it. So take advantage of it. And, you know, just a short segment, you know, less than 30 minutes each one. So get you a boost before you go out to take on the world. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the anointing, asking for the utterance, asking for the direction and the supply of your spirit that you know we most need right now today. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go please in the Scriptures to 1 Corinthians 10 again. We've been studying for a number of weeks now on a series that we're calling Overcoming Unbelief. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, talking about that first generation of Israelites that God delivered from Egyptian bondage, he said, with many of them, God was not well pleased. What pleases God?
Faith.
So obviously there was a real absence of that in this situation. They were overthrown in the wilderness. If faith is the victory that overcomes the world, then the lack of it is going to be connected to defeat. And that's what happened to them. They were defeated. They were overthrown. They were overcome. And it wasn't God's will. Verse 6, these things were our examples. They're examples for us, to the intent we shouldn't lust after evil things like they lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. Verse 8, don't commit fornication as some of them. Verse 9, don't tempt Christ as some of them did. Verse 10, don't murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for examples, they're examples to us, and they're written for our admonition. Everything written down, and he's talking about Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He said, that's written for us today. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's for us. And so it's a big mistake that a lot of people are completely ignoring what we call the Old Testament. There's no such thing as an old, out-of-date Word of God. Mm-hmm. Everything God has ever said will live forever and be right and true forever. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not what he said. Mm-hmm. So he's saying those things He lists them off individually and says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. These are examples for you. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, don't just assume you're not going to be challenged with any of this. Don't think, well, you know, that's old and that's all passed away and you know, we don't have those kind of problems today. Oh, you sure do. Nothing has changed in the main spiritual issues. God hadn't changed. Truth hadn't changed. Faith hadn't changed. Unbelief hadn't changed. Fear hadn't changed. He says, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who won't suffer you or allow you to be tempted or tested above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of it to escape that you may be able to bear it. See, don't take a verse like that out of context and try to make it say things that's not even connected with the passage. What's he been talking about the whole chapter? They yielded to the temptation to doubt, to fear, to complain, to blame, to rebel, to disobey. Hadn't he been saying the whole chapter, don't do what they did. Don't do what they did. Well, then the question, you know, if you're a thinking person, you won't just assume, well, yeah, they had problems with that, but I don't have problems like that. If you're a thinking person, you would want to know, well, if they weren't able to avoid it, how can I avoid it? And that's why he gets to this verse right here. He says, know this, God will not allow you to be in a situation that you can't resist this. Right? He won't allow you to be in a situation where the temptation to fear, doubt, rebel, disobey is so big, so hard, so strong that it just overwhelms you and you can't help but just give up and quit. No, that's a lie. God won't allow that. Hallelujah. But in any temptation, trial, test, situation you find yourself, know this, God has already prepared and made a way, right? And there's already grace available for you and I to say no to fear, no to unbelief, no to disobedience, right?
Amen.
And to come out of it and escape it. So go back with me, if you would, to Numbers again, the 21st chapter, and let's continue looking at this. We have taken event by event now. We're up to our 14th event. There were 10 leading up to Numbers 14, Kadesh Barnea, where the Lord said, you're going to go back into the wilderness and what you've been saying out of your mouth is going to happen to you. There comes a point if you won't listen. The proverb says, he that being often reproved hardens his heart or stiffens his neck, you'll be destroyed suddenly without remedy. The Lord knows what we know. And he also, he sees hearts. He knows the end from the beginning. And we don't know this, but he knows when people will never change. And there's a point where people will never change. You know, that's something about the enemy himself, why he is irredeemable. Satan, the destroyer, his cohorts, those that have joined with him, there is no salvation for them. There never will be. And people don't like to hear that. They're like, well, you know, give him another chance. How many? How many did he have before human beings ever existed? We don't know all of that. But you read the book of Revelation. After all that's happened, leading up to now, previous thousands of years, past this to where the scripture talks about, there's coming a time when the Lord sends his angel and grabs the enemy and chains him up and throws him into the pit and shuts the door.
Amen.
And he is bound and locked up for 1,000 years. 10 centuries. And at the end of that time, he's loosed for a little season. Well, he's had 1,000 years to think about what he's done. You know what I'm talking about? To, you know, not able to do any of his evil stuff. And have you read the book? Have you read? I mean, as soon as he gets out, what does he do? He goes and it inspires a rebellion,
yes,
against God. Mm-hmm. What does that show you? He's never going to change. Yeah. It wouldn't matter how many millennia, how many millions of years. He's not going to change. That's why the only solution is to remove him and his from us.
Amen.
Right? I don't want him living in heaven beside me. How about you? No. Talk about messing up the neighborhood. No. No. No, I don't want him. Any demons, any of his people that have decided to go with him. No, that's why the only solution is eternal separation. And but only God knows that. Only he knows human beings where that point is with them. And so we just need to talk to everybody and preach to everybody like they will believe.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And as long as there's breath, there can be hope.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And
yes.
So, but we don't fall off our chair if they refuse. Amen. We know it's their choice. And we know that even past this life, God's judgments are perfect. Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
They will be. And they are. They're perfect. So they got to that point in Numbers 14 to where God said, okay, all right, you won't believe me. I'm paraphrasing. You won't obey me. And you've been saying this out of your mouth this whole time. You're going to get what you've been saying. Whose choice was it? Come on, help me out. Who chose what they decided to believe and what they had been saying? God didn't make them say, we're going to die in the wilderness. That was their choice. So who chose to die in the wilderness?
Amen.
Not God. Not God. This is so important because there's a doctrine throughout the church about God being in control that is pushed so hard. Oh man, people will fight you over this. It's pushed so hard. And the reason it is because the enemy wants you to believe lies about God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And the enemy wants you to act like he doesn't even exist.
Right?
Yes. Right? So you never resist him or bind him or shut him down. Everything that's happening is somehow the mysterious, unknowable will of God, and you just have to go with it. You just have to let go and let God. Now see, that sounds, people think that sounds good, but that's not scripture. That's not scripture. If you're talking about letting go of your worries and anxieties, yeah, cast them all over on the Lord. But if you're talking about you just quit and do nothing and leave everything up to God, he told you to fight.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Told you to fight the good fight of faith. He told you to lay hold. He told you to resist the devil. Is that right?
Yes.
So no, this passive thing about God's in control and it's just all up to him. Lies, lies, lies. I hope you're listening. And don't take my word for it. Put your nose in the book. That's where I got it. That's what happened to them. Is they wound up forfeiting God's will and God's plan for their life. And their life was shortened. And they lived in unpleasant circumstances. Are there Christians living in unpleasant circumstances today?
Yeah.
Are there Christians whose lives are cut short today? Yes. It's happening all around us. Is it God's will?
No.
Not in one case.
Mm.
No.
That's right.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Now, people will argue with you about this, but that's where the disconnect happens in understanding who God is. And that's what he said about them in Hebrews 3 and Psalm 95. He said, they don't know my ways. They don't know me. They don't understand what I want for them. They don't believe it. There was this giant disconnect in who God is and what He was wanting for them and what they would believe. They decided to believe a lie. They even said at one point in Deuteronomy, you know, it's because God hates us. God hates us. That's why He brought us out here to kill us. God hates you and brought you out here to kill you. But see, when you're too proud and won't take responsibility, that's easier to believe than to believe you were too weak and faithless and chicken to go fight and do what God told you to do. Is that okay?
Yes.
Somebody say, not me, not, not me. Not
I'm not
going to
be chicken.
And faithless. And disobedient.
Disobedient.
I'm not going to be stupid. And blame God.
I will listen.
I will believe.
I will obey.
And I will experience the goodness of God
in the land of the living.
Amen. Hallelujah. The next generation did. They did what their parents said was impossible. They did. They went into the land. They overcame the giants and the walled cities. And they lived in the land that flowed with milk and honey. They enjoyed it. In Numbers 21, verse 4, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The way they were living. The way they were having to travel. The way the things they were having to deal with was really unpleasant. And we don't want to judge them. If you'd have been there month after month in this bleak desert, it wears. But the problem is, they weren't supposed to still be here. They weren't. It wasn't God's plan for them to still be here. It was God's plan by this time to be in the promised land. Houses you didn't build.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Vineyards, orchards you didn't plant, wells you didn't dig, houses full of good things that you didn't even have to come up with. But they're not enjoying that. They're not enjoying that. They're having to pack up their tent and move. And of course, you're baking in the daytime. You're freezing at night. There's no food. You're always concerned about water, all the time. And then you got people wanting to kill you, the neighboring tribes and armies. And so this had gone on now month after month after month after month after month. And the people just got discouraged. Is this relevant for today?
Yes.
And notice what they did. The people, the soul of the people, so this is in them, was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. And they said, wherefore? We'd say, why? Have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, and there's not any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Why? Now, yesterday's class, we ended with talking about why, right? Answering the question, right?
Yes.
Because that's what they're saying. Why, God? Why did you bring us out here to kill us all? And we took you back to Exodus 2, the beginning of this story. You remember they're slaves in Egypt. And in Exodus 2, that's right after chapter 1, very beginning, it said it came to pass in the process of time, the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know the rest of the story in Exodus, how, you know, he got a hold of Moses on the backside of the desert, and he got a hold of Aaron, and he sent them to Pharaoh, and he told him, let my people go, and he wouldn't do it. And so there are plagues and signs and amazing things, and it just happened one after another until finally they asked him to leave. And they left, and the Bible said, the psalmist said, they left with silver and with gold, and there was not one feeble among them. Amen. God delivered them.
Yes.
He saved them and delivered them and healed them and gave them money.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And said, I got a place picked out for you. It's a good place.
Yes.
Now here they are, months and months later, going, why'd you take us out? That's a short memory.
Mm.
Hmm? That is a willing forgetfulness.
Mm.
That's dishonesty is what that is.
Mm.
The problem is, you start listening to the lies of the enemy. Me, you, any day of the week, you start listening to lies. It won't take long. You forget what God actually did for you.
Yeah.
And all you're focused on, listen, what are they focused on? There's no bread out here.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? There's no water out here. And we're tired of this manna. Well, dummy, you die without the manna. Right? It's because there ain't no food out here. And if God wasn't dropping it out of the sky every morning with the dew, you'd have been long dead. And you're going to gripe about? Now listen to this. You're going to gripe about a daily miracle. Nobody ever heard of manna falling out of the sky before this or since. Huh?
That's right.
This.
Yes.
You talk about God doing something special for you.
Yes.
But it just goes to show you can get jaded to anything. You can get used to anything and take it for granted, and not just take it for granted, despise it. They said, our soul loathes this light bread. Mm. This shows why they're there. Hmm? This is why they're there. Now, go with me, if you would, to Psalm 81, because it gets into there's several of the Psalms, if you've noticed, that deal with these passages, the very ones we're reading. The Spirit of God inspired the psalmist to talk about it, to sing about it, to quote it. And Psalm 81 is one of those. Notice the phrase here, we read it, the people's soul was much discouraged because of the way. Now notice in Psalm 81, he said, talking about verse 5, this he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. See, their whole life was, I mean, from birth to death, they're slaves. They're property. Their whole life is up before daylight, chopping wood, drawing water, working in the fields, preparing food. That's their whole life. And now it had been hundreds of years. We're talking about generation after generation that had never known anything except this. And in this generation, cries out to God. I said, God, help us. Get us out of this. Well, there was no natural way they could get free. There was nobody going to come help them, naturally speaking. But the Bible said, when we read it in Exodus 2, God said, I heard your cry. I saw your oppression. I saw your groaning. And I remember my covenant with Abraham.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. How many know you ought to be thankful for that forever?
Amen.
Right? That God would, he did what he did and got you out of there.
Amen.
And got you free. But see, in a short amount of time, that means nothing to them. They've been saying for episode after episode, we need a new leader and go back to Egypt. That's what they've been saying. You know, they want to get rid of Moses and Aaron. And so he said, I removed his shoulder from the burden. I removed his hands. They were delivered from the pots. You called in trouble and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I proved you in the waters of Meribah, Selah. Verse 10, I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust and they walked in their own counsels. They're mad at God. They're mad at Moses. But whose fault is it that they're out there? Come on, help me. That's the disconnect. You see it all the time. They wouldn't take responsibility for their own unbelief and their own disobedience and their own rebellion. And if you won't repent, you won't get any help. If you won't even acknowledge that it's your fault. Everybody said out loud, I'm willing.
I'm willing.
To acknowledge my mistakes. I'm willing to repent. Forgive me, Lord, for pushing my own way. I want your way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Our time's up again today. We're going to get into some more of this later. But just that prayer right there can be life-changing. Amen. Well, come back tomorrow. We'll see you again soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.